The Holy Gospel today comes from the book of St. Luke, the 4th chapter, beginning with the 14th verse. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. My dearest siblings, grace and peace to you from God, our holy creator, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Evangelical. Yeah. That's a word that we hear a lot today, evangelical. And that's not a word that I like to use. It's definitely not a word I like to associate with our church, because it's taken on such a political connotation in our society today. And oddly enough, Pastor Russ preached on this word the very first service I ever attended here at Bethania. And he reminded us all that the word evangelical is actually in the official name of this church. We call ourselves Bethania Lutheran Church, but our official name is Bethania Evangelical Lutheran Church. And so that word evangelical, as much as I don't really like it, is a part of who we are. And honestly, I would love to take that word back away from its political connotations. If you go to Germany, where the vast majority of people are Lutheran, they do not call themselves Lutherans. They call themselves Evangelias, which means evangelicals in German. And so there are parts of our world where that word is still used with its theological basis. And it would be nice to reclaim that word when you understand what its etymology is. And so the word evangelical comes from the Greek word, which sounds just like the German, the Greek word euangelia. And that's a word that is two words that are combined into one. And the first part of that word, euangelia, that Greek, is you, E-U, which simply means good in Greek. And then the second part of that word is angel, angelia, angel. And that's where we get our word angel. And angel in Greek simply means a messenger. So when you put those two together, euangelia, it is a messenger of good. Any messenger who brings good news is a euangelia or an evangelical. There will be a quiz later, so please remember all of this. So that's a very important word to us as Christians, good news or evangelical. We are called as followers of Christ to bring God's good news to this world, to those around us, to our communities, to the surrounding area. We are called to bring God's good news to people. That is a fundamental function of what we are supposed to be doing as Christians. The problem is we can never agree on what the good news is. And so I want to canvas you all real quick, okay? And I'm going to ask you to raise your hands, and please participate. I want to know if this sounds like good news to you, okay? If we were to say we as Christians, we are going to bring good news to the poor of the world, does that sound like good news to you? Most of us? Okay, some of us might be too shy. I asked you to participate. What if we say release to the captives? Does release to the captives sound like good news to you? If we were to just say that term right there, release to the captives. Let me have a show of hands again. Does that sound like good news, release to the captives? Maybe. How about sight to the blind? Does sight to the blind? Yeah. If you're not raising your hand, you're a bad person. How about the oppressed going free? And there are parts of our world where there are some seriously oppressed people. The oppressed to go free. Does that sound like good news? Again, overwhelmingly, yeah. And then finally, the year of the Lord's favor. Does that sound like good news? Do you think that sounds like good news? The year of the Lord's favor. Again, that's most of you. Some of you might not be raising your hands because you have no idea what any of this stuff means. But for the most part, we hear these terms and we think, yes, this sounds like good news to us. This is a message that we could really get behind. What if that good news to the poor means that you're giving people who live in poverty a bigger say in the system, and then they're going to start advocating for things that are going to be contrary to your belief? Does that sound like good news? Maybe. How about release to the captives? We have a ballooning effort here in our country of privately funded prisons. So if you own a private prison, or a company that has a private prison, does release to the captives sound like good news to you? Or if you have any of your pensions or stocks in privately funded prisons, if we suddenly as a country said we are going to focus on truly rehabilitating people in prison and making them good persons in society, and because of this we're going to start to see the prison population decrease, which by the way they are doing very successfully in Switzerland, but your pension's going to take a hit because somehow it's tied up in privately funded prisons, does that sound like good news? What if sight to the blind is not necessarily people who physically can't see, but again, it's an awareness of a system that is pitted against them. And with that sight that they may have, again, they start advocating for a more equitable system that adversely affects people on the top, that adversely affects stock markets and pensions, that may adversely affect some of us in this room. Does that still sound like good news? I believe sight to the blind was the one that we all raised our hands on. Does that still sound like good news to you? Or how about when we do have a class of oppressed people who we do free, who we do liberate, but suddenly we have to feed them, we have to educate them, we have to catch them up to the standards of society. And perhaps they start taking some jobs. Perhaps they start making some changes that we don't want. Does that still sound like good news? The year of the Lord's favor. This one is my favorite because everybody should raise their hand, right? I mean, God's favor, that sounds amazing. We should absolutely have a year of the Lord's favor. However, in Old Testament language, that specifically means the 1 year out of every seven where every single debt is just wiped away. Now, I've got over $50,000 worth of school debt, so that sounds like wonderful news to me. But that's horrible news to whoever is holding that loan. I think that was another one where we all raised our hands. But what if that means that we're going to start saying here in this country every 7 years, we're just going to wipe debt away? I see a lot of people taking out loans, tell you that much. But again, that could do some serious damage. And that might not necessarily be good news to some people. So here we have Jesus standing up in the synagogue, pulling out the scroll of the most famous prophet that they have, Isaiah, and saying that he is called, the Spirit is upon him to proclaim this good news, and he lists these good things. which we might hear and say, yes, we can get behind that. But then when it actually gets put into practice, or when we start thinking about what that might look like for our society, what sounds like good news for a lot of hurting people may sound like bad news for a lot of others. And it's typically people at that upper echelon of society. The problem is that this is who Jesus was through and through. Jesus was that guy going around and sharing this stuff publicly. And it got him killed. And here we are today as Christians, 70% of our country. And I think we are afraid of this kind of news. And because of the bad feelings that are associated with that, what we've done is we've stripped it away. We've stripped the message away from this Christian call. Instead, we have made it about a personal relationship with God. That's what's most important. And it's about individual salvation. It's about what I need to take care of to be right with God. And if I can do those two things, if I can have a personal relationship with God, and if I can only worry about my individual salvation, and I neglect this whole other half where we are called as Christians to care for this world and its people, well, then I have something that's not only a little easier to do, but it can be good news for everybody, right? All you have to worry about is yourself. That's good news for everyone. Anybody can get behind that message. You only have to worry about yourself. But the problem is, that's nowhere in the Bible. And Jesus never said anything remotely close to that. And in fact, when Jesus did talk about the good news, he was 100% of the time focused on the poor and the vulnerable and the oppressed, and trying to alleviate their pain and their suffering and bring them back into their communities where, once again, they would have a voice in how things are decided. Now, I bring all this up today because I think we miss how radical it is to be a Christian. And I think we miss the risk that it calls all of us to take. And so I want you to really genuinely think about this in your heads. For you, when you hear this, good news to the poor, release to the captives, the oppressed go free, sight to the blind, the year of the Lord's favor, when you hear that that is what Jesus felt he was called to come into this world and share that kind of good news, and when you know that we as Christians are called to share that news with others, for you, just you, is this good news? Or is it bad news? And do you still feel like it's news we are called to share? As Christians of influence, which we have, as Christians of resources, which compared to the rest of the world, we have an abundance of. Is this news that we are still called to share? Is it indicative upon us as Christians to bring this good news to poor people, to sight or awareness to the blind, whether literal or metaphorical? Are we called to try to preach release to the captives? Are we called to try to work towards alleviating those who are oppressed? Is that genuinely a part of what we are supposed to be doing as Christians? And what happens if, for a huge segment of society, that's bad news? Are we still called to take the risk in sharing it? That's not one of the questions I'm going to try to answer for any of you. That's a question I'm going to let just sit there with you That's a question I'm going to allow you to think about and answer for yourselves. But I'll tell you this. What history and what our faith tells us, the folks who were Christians of influence and who had resources, the people who said, yes, this is good news worth sharing, these were the folks who were at the head of abolishing slavery. These were the folks who were at the head of the women's suffrage movement as allies, trying to create a society where women had the same voice as men. When people were being slaughtered in Latin America, these were the same people who advocated a whole new theology that we called liberation theology, that were at the forefront of all of those things. For me, when this is the good news that I, as a Christian of influence and resources, want to share, I find that a world where we do care for the poor, a world where we do proclaim God's favor, a world where we look at the most vulnerable and marginalized and say that God loves them, that they have worth, and that they have the right to a dignified life, and that as a Christian I'm called to that kind of work, for me, that seems like good news for everybody. But again, that's only a question you can answer for yourself. Amen.